For 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Throw the door wide open. Come on in, Arizona homeowners. To my house, Rosie on the House. After 33 years, over 4,000 hours of broadcasting, over 1,000 published newspaper articles, over 12,000 questions answered on air, over 7.8 million newsletters distributed, we're here for you for free, the Arizona homeowner. Boy, we had a funny event at Rosie's house last night. Jennifer and I just got done with a little road trip. We took about 8 days and drove back to Washington, D.C. to deliver a car to our daughter who's just moved there. So last night was our first night home. And we fixed dinner and we moved to the TV trays in the living room to watch a little TV. And I turned on the TV and Jennifer started crying. I thought, is she that happy to be home? What's going on?
I think crying is a bit of an exaggeration, but I was truly disappointed to see football on TV in August. That's like going to Hobby Lobby and finding decorations in July. I just can't go there. I love the family football. I love the college football. But by January, I'm pretty done, and so I don't want to start any earlier. Just saying.
Well, the Cardinals did rack up their first preseason win, so congratulations to the Cardinals.
And they beat the Cowboys, and that's my happy day.
That's all the better, right?
Yeah.
But I giggled pretty hard when I looked over there and saw her eyes. She thought, this can't be happening.
It's called being a football widow for the next 6 months.
Man, oh, man.
Well, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. You can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. It is the 9 o'clock hour on the house topic, and we spend the hour talking about something on your home, castle, or cabin. If you follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you can see our topic for the month is water resources, rain, retentions, reuse. And we've got a lot of the rain, and we've got a returning guest, always one of our favorites, Donna DeFrancesco from Water Use It Wisely, joining us in studio to talk about
water.
Use It Wisely.
Yeah, that's right. And you just ordered the perfect weather for this episode. And when you guys are talking about water, you knew I had to be here if this is your month to talk about water. So
absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
And there was an article posted at our flagship station yesterday or the day before that Gary D. forwarded talking about the water runoff that we've got from the rain.
Yeah.
And we have, SRP estimates, 125 acre-feet of water has flown through our rivers just from the runoff. And that was before yesterday's rain.
Yes.
And the snowpack runoff was 104 acre-feet. So we've gotten a very wet monsoon. It was provided more moisture than our snow runoff. And somebody commented in the section that, you know, well, this water is wasted in the summer because we don't, because it just all flows down the river. It's the snowpack that we really need. Although we do really need the snowpack, I don't agree that this is wasted water.
Well, I am not the SRP expert, but I know that we build these reservoirs for that purpose, that we do get runoff. Now, that snow melt is fabulous for, you know, filling up the reservoirs, but we're certainly, they definitely see a raise in those levels of reservoirs with the rains. Absolutely. So it's very beneficial. It's also soaking the ground. I mean, you're getting soil moisture now where, you know, when we do get maybe hopefully next winter, then maybe more of that snow melt will be runoff that'll go into the reservoirs as well. So
I think it complements the snow melt because
definitely.
It keeps it fuller.
Yeah.
So that when we do get the more snow melt, may even end up in a situation where they have to release water to keep the dams, you know, from going over their full level.
And then let me tell you one other key here, which is everybody should have their irrigation systems turned off, right? So we'll take in less water out of those reservoirs for our landscapes right now. So yeah, that should be saving it as well. Let's keep as much as we can in those reservoirs. That's the reason why those were built. just happens that they end up being great recreation areas for us as well for boating and other things. But the purpose of those is to store that water for use when we need it.
And one of the points I would like to make when we talk about water is, you know, people are like, well, you know, that you lost that water. Well, you can't lose water. You may waste it for its intended purpose that you have that designated water for, but whether it's evaporation, well, the water's still there. It's just in its liquid it's gas form. Mm-hmm.
It's the water cycle.
Form.
It's what keeps the earth going round and round. So yeah, definitely. And that's a great segue too for me to talk about rainwater harvesting, because again, the more we can keep and retain that moisture, not only in our homes, but also even in our commercial landscapes along the roadways, we're trying to get a lot more of the cities to incorporate what's called low impact development. It means we're cutting the curbs or putting cores in the curbs so that we can collect rainwater right off the street, getting it into those landscapes. We're saving water on watering those landscapes. We are cleaning the water before it goes into the storm drains and into the rivers or natural waterways, and recharging groundwater. All those things are just so beneficial. We have so much impermeable surfaces around the cities. We need to do more of that capturing of the rainfall. And we have watersheds, our own watersheds. We have buildings and rooftops and driveways. All those things will shed the water off, and we can collect that water into our landscapes. And we have a great page on wateruseitwisely.com. We have one specifically for rainwater harvesting we've just listed all the resources that are available. We get you in touch with people like Watershed Management Group, a great nonprofit that does everything to do with water harvesting, and just so much more information.
We talked last week with the Arizona Farm Bureau because they are the mm-hmm. biggest water consumers in the state. Behind that, what we're talking about today is residential landscape use, because most of the water, especially if you're on a tied into a city, mm-hmm. there's a lot of water that goes down the drain. I think the statistic is 90% of that is reused. They use it to power the power plants at Palo Verde Nuclear Power. A lot of our energy comes from our sewer water,
right?
That's then purified and reused. So it's the water that's done outside. It's not necessarily wasted if you're doing trees and you've got mm-hmm. a nice zero scape, but it could be poorly managed. And the point of today's topic is to talk about properly managing your Arizona landscape.
Yeah, definitely. And we do see that, you know, up to 70% or more of the water use is outdoors in residential situations. So we do want people to be using that efficiently. But it's like you say, I think because, you know, Arizona is landlocked and we couldn't just dump our wastewater out in an ocean or a lake or a river like so many other parts of the country do. So we've been extremely efficient and creative with using that wastewater. And like you say, for Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant, we have an exchange where we get some, with the Gila River Indian Community, we give them our treated wastewater, and it's treated to a very high quality level. They send it down south for farms and stuff like that to be used. We water landscapes with it. So there's a lot of great uses we do with reclaimed water.
Most of the golf courses are all water with reclaimed water.
Yes, that's right. Many are. Absolutely. So, yeah.
So in our own personal water use for our landscapes, where is the number one water violation? Is that lawns? Is that bad irrigation timing? Where do you want to start?
I think I'd have to put lawns first, only because especially if you have leaks or, you know, a head that gets kicked off or something like that, you've got that little fountain going up and everything. So,
and you were very glad you were at this hour, because if you came in when we come in, you see this row of palm trees out here behind me that are grown in a median that have lawn.
Yes.
So all the sprinklers were on this morning.
They were running. So there's that too. And it is a shame.
Not only is it a very useless stretch of lawn.
Exactly. I think I've taken a picture of that before too for talks and things like that to show people like, don't do this if you don't have to. So that we hate to see that, don't we, after a beautiful rain like this and then to have the sprinklers running. So there's that. So sprinklers and lawn is going to use a lot more water than desert landscaping. And then, of course, just the system itself is just more prone to to damage and water waste and things like that. So, and just with the fact that it's spraying up in the air, you lose a lot of water to evaporation. That's why we love drip systems, because putting water right at the source of the roots where it's needed, and you're not losing, you know, so much to just evaporation and things like that. It's a lot more protected. So, you know, the more you can do desert landscaping, you know, and that kind of thing, we sure prefer that. A lot of the municipalities are offering rebates and things like that for people to remove grass. Mesa has a rebate of up to $575 to remove your grass and put in desert plants. So check with your municipality on that.
Sarah Porter from the University of Arizona's Water Law, Kyle. The title's so long I could never designate it all to memory. But
Kyle Center for, yeah, I know.
She said the biggest crop is lawns and across America. So
yes,
that's not to say it's bigger than agriculture. But if you break down agriculture into crops,
sure,
lawns in America are the biggest single crop that that we grow.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell anybody not to have a lawn or that they can't put one in. And if you have an old system, you know, do yourself a favor. Go to a Ewing Irrigation or some professional place. The new rotary heads that have, you know, they use a fraction of the water.
Yep.
And
the MP rotators and things will, and they have larger droplets, so there's less loss to evaporation. It applies a lot more slowly, so you have to have much longer run times than you'd ever think you would with sprinklers.
But you're still using less water.
It's less
more
water.
Efficient.
And then it's less runoff usually and things like that. So you have less problems with that. Absolutely. So we agree. That's what the Xeriscape principles talk about. Certainly you can have small grass areas, but we just want people to think about, make sure they're functional, you know, and I always say have it in the backyard so you don't have to worry about keeping it mowed and looking good for the neighbors and everybody, you know, but just think about them being, you know, those functional areas for the kids, for the dog, for what you need.
And that's where artificial turf can also be used.
Correct.
So, and that's one of the things I want to talk about is the bigger picture is it really water saving? Because of how much water resource goes into manufacturing
the
material
turf.
And then now transporting it for the install. The install itself, they still put in sprinklers so you can run it and clean it off of dog deposits.
And cool
and
it.
Then, and then at the time it's used up, it's now in the landfill. So,
Romy, you get a star today for your sustainability. Sorry, Gary, but he's looking at the whole big picture, and that is one of the reasons why Mesa does not allow to use artificial turf, because we're concerned about the, you know, we're trading one environmental impact for another, potentially. It's a petroleum-based product. It heats up substantially in the summer months, so there's none of those benefits that plants provide by absorbing CO2 and giving off oxygen and just cleaning the air and that kind of stuff. So we don't allow it. And you know, a lot of the manufacturers will tell you it is recyclable, but I just think who's going to be there to take it away and recycle it when the time comes?
And even the recycling bins that we use at the city, less than 10% of that stuff that goes in it gets recycled anyway.
Don't even try putting your artificial turf in your recycle bin. I guarantee it's not going to be recycled there.